ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Kohl's, it's the You Meet Them Everybody Midweek in Review. I'm Esmeralda Leon, and here's your host, Brandon Weatherby. Yay.
Hello. Hey, Esmeralda. How are you? It's weird. Esmeralda's never sat behind me throughout a show before. You're going to judge all of us.
That's why I'm on a stool. I'm to look down upon you.
Fantastic. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Midweek Review. This show is about God and politics and you in a bar, because that's where God and politics belong. I ride the bus whenever I'm in Chicago, and that makes me political. If you've ever ridden the bus, you're a Democrat, or you're apolitical. You cannot be Republican if you ride public transportation. Let me just tell you what. Last night, I was on a 49. That's the Western bus. I picked it up to Chicago, and I went all the way to Lawrence. It's a pretty long ride. It's a 40-block ride. It's a fun ride. Some might say it's a little bit too fun. I would say it's a little bit too fun because on the bus was a woman. And that woman had lots of bags, and some of those bags were taped to her. And she also had a bat. A baseball bat, and she wielded that bat to and fro, scaring all of the children. Yes, there was a child on the bus at 2 a.m., ladies and gentlemen. And here's why you're political if you ride the bus at 2 a.m. All money, all public funding should go to mental health. Plain and simple, fix that, you fix everything else. No more problems, no more bats on the bus. What do you think about that, Merle?
Was it a Louisville Slugger?
It was not a Louisville Slugger. It was an off-brand.
Was it a tiny promotional bat?
No, it was a very, very big softball bat. And she kept hitting herself and the poles and came within about an inch of most people's faces. And that's why I am political. I didn't think about that too much. Instead, I tweeted about that. I said, a woman is wielding a bat on the bus. And here's the thing that's not right. Three people liked that on Facebook. An awful culture. Those three people that liked that on Facebook, thank you for reading Facebook at 4 a.m. But also, mental health issues. That's all I'm saying. So without further ado, I'm going to walk 3 feet and then sit down in Esmeralda and I'm going to talk for a second. How are you, Esmeralda?
I'm good. You look very smashing with your starter Cubs jacket.
I'm wearing a Chicago suit.
Your sad Cubs jacket.
I'm wearing a sad Cubs jacket because I wanted to be Greg Maddux as a child. That's not. Do you even know who that is?
No.
Fantastic.
Not at all.
Are you political in any way?
Sort of.
Do you vote?
I didn't vote for the mayor.
You didn't vote for the mayor?
No, because I was thinking that I don't really, nothing really pertains to me. I don't have any kids. I don't have a car. I don't own a home.
Don't you think that maybe that's why you should vote?
Why? I don't have none of that stuff.
Because you don't have any of that stuff. That's why.
I don't want any of that stuff.
You don't want anything?
I don't want a house, or a car, or kids. I'm good.
Well, you're just the best announcer we could have had. Bring up our first guest, man.
All right, well, host of Chicago's Almost Above Ground audio magazine, Outside the Loop Radio. It airs every Thursday at 10 a.m. on WLUW and podcasting at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Here is Mike Stevens.
I don't think Mike realized he had to come on stage.
You have to run. You have to hustle.
This is you, sir. Sit down.
I just enjoyed my beer.
What beer are you drinking?
A Two Brothers. Keeping it local-ish.
Okay, that's why you're on the show. You actually are somewhat interested in politics, but I don't think.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I'm getting a phone call.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm good. I'm sorry. Go ahead. But I really was getting a phone call.
Outside the Loop, you kind of are forced to follow Chicago politics.
I'm not. I'm more of a political junkie, I guess you could say. I'm really interested. I think there's a lot of different layers to it. You know, it's fascinating for me, so I cover a lot of it on the show. It's not all politics. It's a lot of it.
You like parking ticket stories.
I love the parking ticket
stories. That's your wheelhouse.
That and, that's my wheelhouse.
Fantastic. Merle, next.
Writer for The Red Eye and blogger of Accidentally Sexy, which can be found on the online community chicagonow.com, it's Anna Furness.
Yeah, Anna. I want to point this out before Anna gets a chance to point it out. She brought notes, ladies and gentlemen. She's got
material.
She has material.
She's prepared.
But it's a Mead spiral notebook from like eighth grade.
You know how to type because you're a blogger. Do you own a printer?
There's no ink in the printer.
So you're poor.
I'm a blogger.
Fantastic. You write about sex.
I write about dating and relationships.
Good for you.
And that may involve sex sometimes.
What's so good about sex?
Where do you start with that? I think the end is good about sex.
You said the end is good about sex?
That's when all the fun really happens.
No, that's the opposite of the fun part. That's the part where you want a sandwich, and that's not fun. That's just full of regret and sadness. I was brought up in a Catholic tradition, ladies and gentlemen.
I think actually what I really thought about dating relationships and how to get to the final end result, which is obviously populating.
On that note, Merle.
His stand-up was featured on the Just for Laughs Festival. He was a semi-finalist for the Andy Kaufman Award and is the genius behind the videos Safety Minute with Accidentalist DK Ediger. It's Chad Briggs.
Chad Briggs. Slowly, methodically coming to the stage. To the listener at home, what you hear is the blue line. It's not a sound effect.
You're going to hear that every 10 to 15 minutes.
It's going to be fantastic.
Well, maybe it'll derail again and it'll stop.
It wasn't a derailment, Esmeralda, according to the CTA.
Wait, let's get the whole panel up here. Let's talk to Chad for a second. Chad.
Hey, how's it going?
You're currently detoxing right now.
I am.
Why?
This is club soda. Sometimes you just know. You feel like that might be a liver polyp. That's a burn that just doesn't go away. And like when you get to be my age and your hangovers last until the PM the following day, you're like, all right, I'm just taking a break. Don't take me to task. The thing is, it looks like I'm still thinking about deflecting peer pressure. I'm 35 years old and I still don't want my friends to give me shit. But the thing is, I hang out with people, and so this looks like I'm drinking vodka, but I hang out with people that think vodka is for pussies. You know?
So, well, vodka is for pussies, and I don't think that's a debate, that's just a fact.
Well, then it's too bad there's not a big hairy Russian guy on the panel.
Speaking of a big hairy Russian guy, Merle,
see Chicago Reader's 2010 Best Stand-Up Comic, co-host of the Sports Comic Podcast, Visitor's Locker Room, and his wildly successful one-man show, Never Been to Paris, is now playing every Friday at 9. Until the end of April, it's Sean Flannery.
Thank you.
Sean.
Hi.
You're funny.
Thank you.
How did that happen?
How did I become funny?
Yeah.
I don't know. I grew up in a funny family where everyone tried to be funny.
Fantastic. And because of being funny, you...
I mean, I think I became funny the same way people became an athlete. I just sort of inherited it.
No! No, you tried and worked and... So could, do you want to really quick?
But athletes do that. They work, too.
Yeah, kind of. No, I disagree. We have to have disagreements or we have no conversation.
They get laid a lot more.
They do get laid a lot more.
That comments don't do so bad.
Really?
Oh!
Yeah. I think you're the only parent on the panel.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... that's right. What's up?
I don't, exhaust those opportunities now that
good
I'm married, but, comics get a lot of opportunities. Women truly do like to laugh. It's not, men think it's a conspiracy that only Vogue magazines are saying, but it's actually true. I mean, there's a reason bachelorette parties go to comedy clubs and bachelor parties don't, you know.
I thought that was just women. A wood show.
Yeah. Because it's the only place where you can have a dick on your head and no one says anything.
Have you been to the Hang-Up?
What's the Hang-Up?
You've never been. Speaking of bachelor parties, has anyone been to the Hang-Up? You've probably been to the Hang-Up. There's like eight bed. Has anyone been to the Hang-Up in here?
What is this?
Oh my god!
Explain, sir.
No one's heard of the Hang-Up?
No, no one has.
It's the cheesiest. It's like one of the cheesiest places in Chicago. There's like eight bachelorette parties in there at every moment.
Where is this place?
It's like in the Russian Division.
Okay, so so it's just awful.
It's terrible. It's terrible. But like to go there and just like take a step back and say, what? I mean, it's insane. So if we could go back in time,
yeah.
You and I would, you know, we have the ring of power. So
wedding rings. You're talking about wedding rings,
right? One ring to rule them all.
I think a nouveau ring is a ring of power.
Tell that to my wife. She's sitting right.
Fantastic. Nice to see you, man. Merle, you ready to do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's our first story?
It's about the world!
Yeah, we're going World, Nation, Chicago, Entertainment, Sports, in that order.
So So there's a video of a Russian video of a dead alien. A video posted on YouTube allegedly shows the discovery of a dead alien. It shows an object that is claimed to be the dead body. Has large gray skull, large black eyes, four limbs, and bears a resemblance to E.T. It was found in the town of Irkutsk, not far from an alleged UFO sighting 1 month ago in Siberia.
Which raises the question, why should anyone care about Russia? Chad?
Why should anyone care about Russia?
Answer the question.
Oh, wow. As I said, these questions are often very pointed. Why should anyone? I mean, it is a very large landmass. They have quite a few. They have a significant portion of the Asian population. I mean, if you don't count India and China, they have a lot of natural resources, and apparently aliens like to fucking die there. I saw that video, that alien looks like it's made out of boiled chicken. It's just sort of, it's got like a few blue veins, and it's just weird. It looks like an Ed Wood kind of alien.
Anna, have you ever been or know someone that has blue veins and looks like dead chicken? You are a sex
columnist. Ah, see, I put it right on a T for you.
Wait, your parents know how to download podcasts? What kind of supportive household are you from? Fantastic. Sean!
Yes?
Have you seen any aliens?
I have not. It's interesting, though, how easy... Like, this thing is visibly fake if you watch it.
It's all right.
But it's getting a lot of hits. People really believe it's real. And it's funny, like, I once saw a study on people who believe in UFOs in Area 51. And it's like 99% of them are old white males. And it is funny. Like, I talked to my dad. Like, if anything, he's so close to believing in them. If anything ever happened to my mom, like, I know for a fact my dad would believe in aliens within 5 months. And it just seems like something happens to white men when they hit a certain age that they start believing in all this shit. Like, government conspiracies and aliens and all that.
Crazy about this video is that they leave the body. They find an alien, they leave the body. But they're filming it on their cell phones. It's not like they couldn't call anybody. Like, it couldn't be that, oh, I went away and then the body disappeared. You know.
But they don't start out, like, if you found an alien, you'd be like, holy shit, there's an alien! And you get your phone and you start rolling on it. They start with like a scenic view of like the horizon. And then they're like, to put it in context, and then they kind of pan down like, oh, what do we have here?
That's actually in this story. We see this in sitcoms as a quote. We see this in virtually every film in order to establish a place in a scene for the viewer.
That's exactly what they do, yeah.
Why didn't Paul do better at the box office then? Did anyone know what Paul is? No, we're not doing audience questions. Answers.
They don't get out much.
You asked him, and he raised his hand politely. Did you enjoy the film, sir?
Thumbs up, everybody!
To your listeners at home, he gave it a thumbs up.
Merle, speaking of thumbs up, next story.
Endangered species request list is growing at a dramatic rate. Over 1,200 are trying to be added, where the average used to be 20 a year.
Why are animals weak?
Well, it could be because we're pumping a shit more stuff into them now.
So what?
Yeah, they haven't. They need millions of years to evolve in order to develop defenses to all these hormones and oil spills and all this other.
Are you against oil?
Yes, I'm patently against oil in every form.
What about oily skin?
Never cared for it. Get some oxy.
Mike.
Yeah.
How do you feel about animals? Do you have any pets?
Oh, I do not. I'd like a dog, though.
We all would like a dog, okay? Really? You'd like a dog?
I love a dog. I had a fish once. I had 6 fish. They're dead.
Why did you have 6?
Well, I had 6 because the first one, this was when I was like 6 or 7. I had Moby Dick. His name was Moby Dick. He died. He was a carnival fish. Then I had Moby Dick 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They all died within... you know, a couple of weeks.
That's depressing.
Maybe you're just a bad pet owner.
I was terrible. I was also like 7.
Don't get a dog.
Does anyone have a pet give money to PETA?
Does anyone what?
Give money to PETA? Does anyone here not eat meat? Fantastic! I'm with friends.
Now, what's on that pizza?
Yeah, there's pizza in the crowd, everybody. Pizza in the crowd. Next story, Merle.
Libyan rebels are under-equipped. They have weapons but no ammunition. Some are carrying machine guns that can only be fired electronically from inside tanks they do not possess.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring this up because that's insane. That's not really a story. That's just crazy.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Did anyone see the footage of Geraldo in Libya?
No, Geraldo's in Libya?
Yeah, Geraldo was in Libya.
What happened?
And he was basically just talking about how these guys are maniacs. Driving around in their tiny Datsun pickup trucks with machine guns mounted on the beds. And he basically described them like 19-year-old frat boys. Like, you know, deep down they're good kids, but they need some direction. They don't really have any
leads. They just had a year of Pop Warner and be fine.
Right. Their hearts are in the right place. I think we can if we could solve this problem with a bunch of maniacs and Datsun pickup trucks with machine guns, I don't know.
These guys have no plan. That's like these rebels. They go out there. They have like what are you going to do today?
Drive around and we shoot at the bad guys?
Well, right. Yes, that's exactly what you need to do.
But
you need to have ammunition in the guns.
That's just a video game, though. Drive around and shoot at the bad guys.
Maybe that's why Paul didn't do better at the box office.
Yeah.
Gaddafi's the boss at the end of this level.
It's fun to be white in the U.S., isn't it, panel? Speaking of white in the U.S., Merle, let's go to the nation stories.
The law firm had filed suit on behalf of the California woman alleging that Taco Bell's food did not meet federal standards to be considered beef, has withdrawn the suit. On Wednesday, Taco Bell decided to trumpet that good news with full-page ads in 10 major U.S. newspapers demanding an apology. The ads read, "Would it kill you to say you're sorry?"
Which brings to the question, have you ever eaten Taco Bell while thinking about your health? That's a sincere question. Let's go around the horn. We'll start with Anna.
What really struck me about this article is that USDA averages 40% equals Taco Bell. So Taco Bell comes in at 88%. They're double the national regulation. So what are we otherwise eating?
You can say fuck, but you're so nice. I'm serious. I like having you on the panel.
Yeah, I mean, is it 60% you're allowed sawdust? Just sawdust?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about taco. That, like, I haven't eaten it in a really long time.
Is it only because you're detoxing?
Well, no, that was a decision. I mean, I eat a lot of bad taco, but if I'm going to just destroy the inside of my stomach, I like it to be, you know, I like the real shit, you know. I like the real, just dirty, disgusting taquerias with like a quarter inch of just grease on the floor kind of thing. But the thing about taco, like, I actually think it's better. Like, that 12% is probably the best thing for you. Whatever that 12% is, it's better than the disgusting beef that Taco Bell is serving.
It's like, mostly TVP.
What is TVP?
Texturized vegetable protein.
Ah, okay.
It's the stuff you can find in Mexican grocery stores. It's in a giant bag. It looks like meat, and it's great for chili. That's not a joke. It's actually good for you.
Right.
Which is it's much cheaper. It's fantastic.
Sawdust in the meatloaf.
Sean and Michael, have either of you ever eaten Taco Bell?
Did you call me Michael?
I did call you Michael.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
It's a serious moment.
Have either of you ever eaten Taco Bell in the daylight in the last 5 years? 6 a.m. is not going as daylight.
Well, does a setting sun? A rising sun?
Excuse me. Post. You have never done it sober. Okay.
I'll say that.
I hate Taco Bell.
Why do you hate Taco Bell?
I would rather go to the real taqueria.
Well, yeah, but you can't always. Sometimes you're going
to... Yeah, like if you go out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Right, but in the city, a lot of the time.
Yeah, sure. Or you're in a car with a drunk at 4 a.m. It seems like a great idea, and it is a great idea.
Yeah, and being part of that Taco Bell experience is fun. Like, there's a Taco Bell on Addison here that is so fucking out of control.
Is it the one by Wrigley?
They have a security guard pass out the food.
Like,
so the staff gives the food to an armed security guard. That's how drunk people are. That's how drunk you have to be to get to a Taco Bell. That an armed man, like, it's defending it like it's a real border, you know, like,
let's... If that Taco Bell security guard was in Libya, would shit be solved?
Probably. That guy's like, listen, I know how to corral.
Give that guy a
shot. Do you want to tell people what's on top of the Taco Bell sign at the one on Addison to give the listener at home an idea of what type of Taco Bell it
what,
is?
I don't know.
It's a giant aluminum Cubs helmet.
That's right. Yeah, that's still there.
That's still there. Let's play with stereotypes. Speaking of stereotypes, Ohio is on drugs. Esmeralda?
Portsmouth, Ohio is home to some of the highest rates of prescription drug overdoses in the state. Nearly 1 in 10 babies born last year in this Appalachian county tested positive for drugs. The problem is so severe that the governor announced $36 million in new spending on it this month. And on Tuesday, the Obama administration announced plans to fight prescription drug addiction nationally, noting that it was now killing more people than crack cocaine in the 80s and heroin in the 70s combined.
Which raises the question, is this surprising to anyone? Sean, you're from Ohio.
I am from Ohio. I'm from Cleveland. Ohio's fallen on tough times, you know.
Has it ever not been on tough times?
Well, no. Yeah, actually, it was. People don't realize how successful like Cleveland was, like in the 20s and 30s. Like Cleveland, it was the fourth biggest city in America at one point in time during the.
That's before the giant Western expansion.
Listen to this. You want to know what one of the most amazing things about Cleveland is? They used to play. The Indians used to play in Cleveland Stadium, which is 70,000 seat stadium. A lot of people are like, how the hell does Cleveland have 70,000 seat? They were the U.S. Olympic bid in the 1930s. Like, that's how big Cleveland used to be. But now it's hollow. It's like the
how did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame get there? I really don't know.
I will tell you how. There was a DJ who coined the phrase rock and roll. They then had an online petition. Or excuse me, this was before the internet. They had a phone call where you had to call a 1-900 number to vote, okay? And it was down to three cities. It was Philly, Detroit, and Cleveland. Those were the three cities, the Hall of Fame. And Cleveland wanted this so bad, it had nothing. They let us take off school to call in to vote.
Wait, a 900, awesome. Wait, really quick. A 900 number or an 800?
It was, I think it was a 900
number. So you had to pay to call.
We had to pay to call, but they were like, do get your parents' permission, but dial it as often as your parents will let you, because this town needs this Hall of Fame. And now that's all we have. We have the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's...
Wait, isn't the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton?
It is, yes.
You have to get a lot of Hall of Fames.
We do. Well, Canton is a big football town, but yeah, we have a lot of Hall of Fames.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Drugs. Chad, what are your thoughts on drugs? Are they fun? Are they just...
Sure.
What? Fantastic.
So we're talking about
Ohio.
Prescription.
Oxycontin.
Okay, that's Rush. That's Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, we're... House. What are your thoughts on Rush? The band and the man.
Oh, wow.
I try to make it the same thought.
Great drummer.
Yeah, great drummer. I find some of their lyrics to be a little heavy-handed. He's ordering a PBR.
Yeah, thanks for ruining the whole thing.
Well, this is audio, right?
This is audio.
This is audio. Yeah.
Anna, have you been to Ohio?
I've never been to Ohio. However, what struck me a lot about this article...
She did research! It's lovely!
I'm so researched. The article is really scary. They're talking about 1 in 10 babies, etc. There was this family that was talking about, in the past decade, 11 houses on their blocks started selling drugs. And one of them was a 75-year-old woman they called Granny. And the most I ever got from my grandma was a collection of Panini babies, which, at the time, was just as good as crack.
Did you sell those?
Yeah, did you sell them or did you keep them?
I have them.
Oh, that's sad.
You missed your window.
You did.
You missed your
kitchen
window.
How about the Beanie Babies? The owner of Beanie Babies has his own 737, so something's got to be going right for him.
The owner of Taiwan. The Taiwan Corporation.
He has, and on the tail it says TY.
Yeah, you know why it's still worth money? Why? The tag's still on it. Shitty joke.
I like your
question. No, I get it. About Ohio, though, like it used to be a very hard-drinking state, and it's just like people are so poor, the bars have all closed, and that's why they're moving towards
drugs. Are you serious?
I mean, not all of them, but like a lot. It's hard for a bar to make money now because the people are so poor. So like once the bars start closing, which is like the lifeblood of Ohio, like you really... People have to move towards prescription drugs and so on because it's just harder to get drunk.
It's also a situation where you kind of can't, like... be angry at him. He's like, I get it. I know why you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? Fuck it.
Sure.
Just end it. On that note, Merle.
The Department of Homeland Security announced that the familiar red, orange, yellow, blue, and green alerts were replaced with just two alerts. Elevated threat, warning of a credible terrorist threat against the United States, and imminent threat, or a credible, specific, and impending threat.
Is this helpful in any way, ever? Have you ever altered your travel plans based on colors?
No, because you're already in the damn airport. What's
yeah. The only thing I can see it helpful as a comedian, it will eliminate the "it's brown shit in your pants" jokes.
Yeah.
It will eliminate the bad jokes about color. But like from like an action standpoint of affecting your behavior, no, it's useless.
No, and I think the verbiage is very strange too, because it's just basically one is kind of like
we're always under threat.
So one is like oh shit, and the one of them's like oh shit, there might be a guy with a box cutter.
It kind of sounds to me like when you go to Great America and they say this line is 30 minutes, this line is 60, and you get the pass. That's what this is. This is just a pass to get on the roller coaster quicker. That analogy doesn't make sense.
How do you get on the plane quicker? I'd be interested in anything that.
It's been
I like that look of heartbreak when your analogy fell apart.
It has. I think at one point it went up to the highest level.
It's been orange like for the last 3 or 4 years.
But it's been the second highest level the whole time.
And it was orange?
I think what they realized is, like, they're like, listen, we're not really cool enough to ever bring it down.
Yeah.
Other than the second highest level, so why don't we just make it two levels?
Well, and we're always, like, someone's always wanting to attack us. That's it. That's the bottom line. So, yeah. I mean, do we really need, unless there's a bomb going off, in which case, well, that's it. But
and
do you need a code for that?
And you're basically, so this is warning your citizenry to stay vigilant, which is like exactly what we've been doing. But not that we're going to goddamn do anything about it. That we're not in charge of doing anything about it. It's just... Look out, guys. You're at the airport. It seems so redundant.
I thought it was going to be a ploy for airlines to sell tickets in the dead season. So it would be always elevated threat during spring break. But in January to go to Ohio, it'd be green.
Quicker. That is very shrewd. I like that.
That's what I thought it was going to be, but it never changed. Also, why does Southwest Airlines suck? Answer.
Only you can answer that question. I'll tell you, you want to know what the key to Southwest Airlines, though, is have kids, man. Straight.
What? Yeah. You have kids?
I have kids, yeah. Yeah, you go front
is
of the line.
Is that why you didn't wrap it up?
Yep.
Fantastic. Completely. And you have to go to Ohio. Jesus, that's sad. Both the threat level system and Ohio.
But the bags fly free.
The bags so,
I want you to go there.
We got to get a spot. Merle, could you work on getting the Southwest to sponsor the show?
Can I?
Only if I get to wear one of those ugly-ass outfits they wear.
Southwest outfits are ugly?
Don't they wear, like, polos?
Yeah, they're pretty
bad. Yeah, they do.
They're pretty bad.
They're relaxed. They're just having a good time.
It's really ugly scarves.
Brandon, are we still in the nation?
We're still in the nation. Guess what? We're going home now, buddy. We're in Chicago.
But before we...
Oh, we're still in the nation. Nation of the world.
You're talking about going home. Here's a little gem from my state that I just read today. I'm from Texas. And Governor Rick Perry, there are apparently a lot of brush fires there. They're experiencing a lot of drought.
Yeah, is it like the entire border on fire right now?
Yeah, the whole thing. Which is the best way to protect?
It's a thousand borders. Is it a thousand?
Set the whole subject on fire.
Is it 1,000 acres or 1,000 feet?
Yeah. 1,000 just is.
Wait, that's not even miles. Miles, sure. Thank you. That's why it's a panel and not a monologue. Is it 12,000 feet? Acres or miles?
Is this a story, bro?
I don't know.
There's a lot of shit on fire.
Okay.
There's a lot of mesquite trees. There's a fantastic barbecue that you can do. No, but this is. I read this today. So one of my buddies from Texas posted this on Facebook. Governor Rick Perry, who's been in power since Bush left to fill the White House. Actually called for everyone. He called for a national weekend of prayer. It's Easter. For rain. He wanted everyone. He wanted everyone of all faiths to pray for rain. And that guy's
awesome.
It's just teeing up so many horrible rain dance jokes with of all faiths.
Maybe the rain dance joke will praise the color code joke. For the
I hope so. Man, I wish I could get a hot 5 minutes at Cap City Comedy.
How are the non-comics on the panel doing? Just give me stand.
I'm just going to read it. I'm a microphone, man. That's all I need.
That is true.
Yeah. Anna?
Nice.
I'm smiling
at people. Oh, you're so
Hi.
Nice.
Anna's got the nice handwriting like the girl that tried really hard in high school.
What were your grades in high school? You fuck.
See?
But that worked. And now you're blogging. That worked out. No, that's a compliment.
No, it's not.
Nope, it's the opposite. Let's go to Chicago.
Wait, we're all podcasting.
No, we're losing.
It's like, that's like a step
we're not.
Up.
Yeah.
This is... Go, Merle.
I'll miss that.
I have it. It's just not good. I'm trying not to be mean this year. I'm serious.
What?
I'm trying not to just tear people down because I have insecurities anymore.
I noticed you haven't told anyone on your talk show to shut the fuck up. Yeah. Which I always thought was fantastic. You'd be in the middle of an answer, shut the fuck up!
The night is still young.
Doesn't really engender healthy discussion, discourse.
All right, well, thank you, community members, union representatives, and local labor organizations have rallied against a proposed Walmart store that they said would send local shops out of business. The proposed 32,000 square foot store will move into the first floor of the Broadway at Surf Boat.
So, Walmart, good or bad? Sincere question. I like how I have to add sincere question.
Sincere question. Not the normal irony.
No, let's think.
Well, Walmart has an interesting history. You know, like they grew.
They had a grassroots start.
And they actually went into towns where these mom and pop places exerted a lot of monopoly power. And actually, one thing, I don't like Walmart, and I think on whole they're bad. But I think one thing that gets lost in this argument, whenever we say mom and pop places, have you ever worked at a mom and pop place? Mom and pop get 100% of the money.
Yeah.
All right, the people in the family get the whole money. They don't pay their employees shit either. You know, the thing that makes Walmart scary, though, is they become so big that they now force that kind of mentality on their suppliers and the way they're affecting truck drivers. Like, I think on whole they're bad, but I also don't feel these mom and pop places are these darlings and saints that we portray them.
Well, I want to hear Mike's standpoint on this, because you actually cover stuff like this.
Well, we did today.
Exactly.
Yeah. I talked to the executive director of the Lakeview East, which is the neighborhood that this proposed Walmart would go into.
Which is not a poor neighborhood at all.
It is not. And I didn't know there was a Lakeview East and there's a Lakeview West. Apparently, they all have a chamber of commerce.
It's very hard to imagine anyone in that neighborhood shopping at Walmart.
And that's exactly what she said, and they're obviously against it. And to be fair, there are a lot of smaller businesses because the area is so dense, it sucks to park in there.
Yeah.
But there are just a ton of businesses there. So they're adamantly against it. And the whole Walmart thing, you know, I get it if you're like in like the burbs or like the country, like where you're really more spread out. I get the whole Walmart thing. I don't particularly agree with a lot of what they do, but here's an example. On my honeymoon night, or I'm sorry, the night before we left, and it's not going that direction, sorry. I forgot to pack literally all like nice shirts. So I had no like collared shirts to go. There were like dinner places to go to.
Yeah, sure.
There was an all-night super Walmart out in the burbs that we were staying at my wife's family's. And I spent like $22. I got like 5 shirts, like nice shirts. I'm thinking to myself,
did they all say no fear, but it was K-N-O-W? But it was K-N-O-W, and it was a message about God underneath.
I was dressed like Vinny from the Jersey Shore. But no, I bought like 5 shirts for like $22.
Yeah. So they're quality, they look good, they fit well, they lasted. Are you serious?
No, this is a Salvation Army buy. So.
Are you poor? What's...
No, just, you know, got the Seth or the...
You can get good dress shirts.
Yeah, but it's really about the pit stains. You know what I mean?
That's why I got a
shirt. Yeah, this will never be sold in a Salvation Army after just one wear of mine. No one wants it. Waiting for the train.
I got a plow through
there. Anna, what are your thoughts about this? You're in an industry, you're kind of like an independent contractor. What if the Walmart of blogs seem to be the Huffington Post?
I mean,
Walmart pays.
Yeah, that's the difference.
I don't shop there personally, so
so.
Well, you can't shop in the city and go to Walmart because they don't exist.
Plus, no, they do on the west side. There is a north side. Yeah,
there's Finals. Yeah, but that's a fairly new development as well.
A few years. Yeah, there's a Menards across the street.
Yeah.
Hang on.
What's the difference between Target and Walmart? Because, I mean, technically.
Target's got a bug up their ass. And I think they're all goddamn fancy.
I know you can unionize. You can talk about unionizing at not Walmart. I get that.
Well, a lot of people who do labor say that the only reason Target isn't considered the worst in America
is because Walmart exists.
Because Walmart, you know, and they really go one step less than Walmart, and that makes them look like the good guys.
Yeah.
But their prepackaged food is so delicious.
Walmart's or Target's?
Target. Archer Farms. Come on.
That is true. I buy some cheese there for my lunches.
Really quick, did anyone know that Aldi and Trader Joe's is the same company? Same owners?
They're closely related.
I'm the one with the microphone. Right. That's now a fact. That's how this works. I'm sorry, you're right. They're from Aldi's from Germany.
Yeah.
And Trader Joe's hangs out with Jimmy Buffett. Let's do a story for Anna.
Well, the Robert Crown Center for Health Education, the nonprofit organization, has offered its Life Begins and similar presentations to more than 5 million suburban and Chicago children since it began specializing in puberty and sex education in 1958. But administrators are now often unwilling to give up class time or funds to bus students to the center in Hinsdale to stay afloat. They are having to get very creative, and they deliver their lessons packing up their plastic uteri, I didn't know it was plural, and portable egg and sperm displays as they take their birds and bees program on the road.
One more line, I find this.
The writer had a fantastic time.
Oh yeah, this is a blast. Give me one more line, this is the sad part.
Which one?
Since 2005.
Oh, since 2005, attendance at the facility, its two satellites, and its schools has declined by about 10,000 students a year.
I'm from Chicago, from the Chicago area. We went to Robert Crown, and I went to a Catholic school. So this was the only sex ed we got, was one presentation.
Same thing.
That's not, to me, that's not right. It seems like sex ed should kind of be mandatory since ever.
Well,
because someone's getting diddled from grade one to the end, and that's going to just bleed into everybody. It's a tree of sadness spreading its roots around. I feel like sex education should be highly funded with mentally ill, but not taught by the mentally ill.
No, I
taking controversial stance. Chad, go ahead.
Went to the Catholic school. They didn't really want to sully their hands at all with any sort of sex education. So they said, here, we're going to put you on a bus. Your parents probably had to sign a permission slip. It was optional.
Yeah.
You know, you could.
And it was not a whole day. I think it was like a 3-hour thing.
It was like a half day. Yeah. I was like the fifth grade.
Yeah, it was. It should have been day one. Because these kids like to fuck. Anna, why do kids like to fuck?
Wow.
Back to my first question, I guess, but I think sex ed is extremely important, and I was fortunate to have gotten up to live in a household where we were very, I knew about it from early age, but I didn't know the anatomy of it. I didn't have any idea of how it worked.
You didn't know the literal ins and outs.
No, I had no idea about this.
But the abstracts made sense.
So we had the first sex ed that I had in school was in like 7th or 8th grade, boys and girls, and we came back to class, and all the boys were talking about masturbating, and I was like, and I had no idea what that word meant. So they asked me, Anna, have you ever masturbated? And at that point, I was fishing a lot with my family. And so I thought...
Tell me you went with an uncle.
I thought that masturbating was being a really awesome at baiting your hook. And so I was like...
You gilded tackle box. You're a masturbator.
So I told them I did it all the time. We did it with family on Sundays. And then my grandpa taught me everything I could.
Yeah! That's so cute!
Chad, could you please name your first album Gilded Tackle Box?
I will.
Thank you.
I will.
You have children.
I do.
When do you think it's an appropriate age for them to be in sex ed?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, I think parents always think it's too late. You know, like, so I would actually trust the school to tell me, to be honest with you. Because when you look at your own kids, you don't realize, and I saw this from my parents, we're always doing things 2 years before our parents know, because when they see us, they see this child that was born to them, and I think they have a hard time seeing your mind get complex.
Did
you
they
know?
Actually tell you what to do?
My dad actually taught me sex ed at a weird young age, because my dad, I don't know if my dad had that instinct. I remember I was like 5, I think, and my dad ran up from the basement. He goes, "Hey, you think you can still beat your old man in darts?" And we had never played darts.
At 5 years old?
Yeah. And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Get down here." And he's like, "So your mom..." And he actually made me get my little brother, who was 4, and he gave us the same speech. And he just spent the
2-1.
He spent the whole time, like, just
wielding weapons.
Like throwing darts. But, like, you're like, "So someday you're going to fall in love, just like my mom, you know, your mom and I fell in love." And I had no idea what he was talking about, and that was the last I heard of it. And thank God there was a sex ed class that actually taught me.
There was or correct, wasn't?
There was. Okay. There was correct information there.
Do you remember how
I scared my dad?
You scared your dad?
Well, no, because I remember I just embarrassed him out of it. Because like my mom and my sisters were leaving for the weekend, and I was like in 6th or 7th grade, and he said something about, "All right, this weekend we're going to see how much you know about some things." And I said something. And I said something. "Oh, we're going to have some kind of corny." And I used the word corny. I was big on the word corny back then. "We're going to have a corny sex talk." And he turned red and just left the room. And
That was it.
And I just learned the rest from Showtime.
Showtime or Showtime in the Apollo?
Actually, you learned the finer points of Showtime in the Apollo.
You got to rub the mystery stuff.
No. You see some. You see the. You know. You actually get to see a little bit of the anatomy on Showtime.
You do get to watch.
Right.
So we've gotten 5 years old for sex ed talk, 6th grade for corny sex talk, 7th or 8th grade for actual class. What about you?
I still don't know much, honestly. No.
What is your wife think?
She's leaving me right now.
Fantastic.
I went to the Robert Crown thing in 5th grade.
Yeah.
But in 7th grade, we went to Disney World. And at Epcot, I swear to God, at Epcot they had a movie about the birds and the bees in this theater. So my parents were like, "Well, hell, we're on vacation. Let's just take me and my sister, who is 2 years younger than I was. I
am." She's in 5th grade, you were in 7th grade.
Right, so I'm what, 13, she's 11. So we go to this movie, and it's about like, it's like half cartoon, half real life.
Anatomy
and Martin Short is in this thing.
Perfect.
So Martin Short, at like the last scene, I don't...
Wait. Was he playing a character or was just Martin Short as Martin Short?
He was playing like, "Oh, I'm the dad. You know, you're the mom. And, you know, we love each other. And then it got cartoon, you know, stuff swimming." But at the end, I'll never forget the last scene. Because I was like, what vacation? I'm in 7th grade. The last scene was just Martin Short in bed with his wife. And he's just like...
The listener homie leaned back.
So he just has his arms behind his head. The camera slowly pans out, and then fade to black. And then, you know, it's Disney credits roll. But I swear they had a movie like that.
That's Disney saying, like, full on, "You won't have to be a parent this weekend." Wanting some heavy shit out of the way that's been over your head. You can clock out.
You know, paid 3 years of your salary to be here.
Is it just weird that every one of those stories sound like the start of it, and then I was raped? Or molested.
Right. And
don't
I think
get me wrong.
You fill in gaps if you, like me, and you went to public school and you rode the bus.
Yeah.
You heard, like, the older kids would talk about stuff. And you would have to pretend like you knew what they were talking about, or you'd be ostracized, or you'd have to shit beat out of you.
I was raised by awful parents. And I watch soap operas every day that I have a memory of ever watching anything. So I thought you just fucked. Straight up fucked. But I thought that meant literally being, like, ripped. And I was like, I'm always going to be too fat to fuck because there's no one fat on the television. And then I became a caddy. And I was convinced that every single white man that belongs to a club that doesn't allow black people to golf, it's in Butler. It's called Butler Golf Course in Oak Brook. The only black man they allowed to golf was Michael Jordan. That's a fact.
I was okay with that.
Well, yeah, he's very rich, so he was fine with that. And he also did a commercial with Charlie Sheen 4 years ago that everyone likes to forget. Like,
was that the Hanes commercial?
That was the Hanes commercial. Yeah. When Charlie Sheen is stalking Michael Jordan, which makes no sense, but now makes complete sense. Anyways, I didn't realize everyone didn't have a mistress. until high school.
Wow, you're a very sophisticated youngster.
I thought you had a wife and a mistress, and you hated both and slept with a prostitute, because that's what you did at
Butler. Are you sure you didn't grow up in France? That's amazing.
That's sad, because that's like, that's a decade ago, pretty much. Girl, next.
Join me with this story. Two guys run together to join the village board in Northwest Suburban Island Lake. The outcome, they both tied votes.
576 votes.
Yeah, each. And to decide the election, Illinois state election law says that it's to be handled by a lot or coin toss. So essentially they toss a fucking coin and one someone won.
Which raises the question of why not?
Oh yeah, I would be fine with that before people vote.
Oh yeah, let's just do that.
No, I seriously believe that. I believe that we waste so much money on election ads, and at the end of the day, they're the same candidate.
I don't know, Alan Keyes. I don't know.
That would be awesome.
I don't know.
But Alan Keyes would have never been the Republican nominee.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta get to two.
Yeah.
Throwing back to the last story, I think the way your dad talked about sex to you and your four-year-old brother is how elections should be decided. You televise, you have the two candidates, right? They have to tell children about sex. You get a four-year-old or five-year-old, and it's televised, and they have to play darts the whole time, and then that's how you vote.
Barack Obama still would have won.
It's on two different channels, whoever got higher ratings wins.
Yeah.
Why not? Fuck it.
Well, the thing, okay, the coin toss, like, there's just, why the Game of Scrabble, arm wrestling, paper football.
Oh, like the game of skill. You can't
say. Why? Why do you have to leave it to the,
That's true. That's not a bad point. Like, do a quick math.
Really quick, the man that won was last name is Cermak. It was kind of a manifest destiny that Cermak won a coin toss. That's too local. Anna.
Hi.
Do you have any notes about this story?
I would totally cheat off of you. In panel class.
I was going to say that in the story, there's a quote from Cermak that says they should have done cards, they could have cut cards, they could have spin the bottle, and it was like...
Wait, he said...
Spin the bottle?
We could have done spin the bottle.
But that's a make-out contest.
So there's only two people playing!
No, you could have had a couple other people, man, and they could all make
out. Oh, okay, well that makes sense. That makes sense.
The best.
Staffers.
But you can't do it one-on-one, spin the bottle. That's what it was. It was a one-on-one.
I think he was trying to give a colorful quote.
He
sometimes
won.
Sometimes, Brandon, these things just fly out of our mouths.
Do you have any more notes on that story?
That's all I got.
Fantastic. Merle, really quick.
Free CTA rides for seniors to end on Labor Day.
This is an interesting thing. Some people are clapping because no one in this bar has ever been over the age of 60 unless
well,
they're
there is, open. Well, there's a very valid point to clapping for that. Like, because there's no income.
Exactly.
Because there's rich lawyers who happen to be a senior that are getting free
rides. Wait, what rich lawyers that are elderly are taking CTA?
Like a Cubs game or something.
Okay,
like that.
Okay, a Cubs game. Yeah. One, and then they're definitely taking a taxi back.
That's true,
it's fine.
No, but the state is completely broke. CTA is always begging the state for money. It's a stupid thing that Blagojevich did.
Thank you. I want to talk about it.
And didn't he do it like when the first allegations of criminality came out? He's like, oh, by the way, free rides for vets and seniors.
And he still brings it up to this day.
Every 10 minutes in every interview. You're right. He brings it up.
Yeah. Can he bring it up today? Today's his retrial. I'm sure.
What did he say? Something about with a little help from above or something? He said something bizarre and pointed
today
to the sky as he was entering the courtroom. I swear. Anybody see that?
Fantastic.
We're all going to the hang-up after this, bro.
Good callback.
Like I'm coming full circle?
Yes, that's what a callback is.
Oh, I like your little language up here.
No, I didn't coin that term. These two gentlemen don't. Anna, do you hate elderly people? That took too long. The answer is yes. Next story!
Don't you think they're unharmed after running away for a month to avoid arranged marriage?
Wait, can I get you to back up? There was a rumble.
Skokie teen found unharmed after running away for a month to avoid arranged marriage. A girl in Skokie, a 16-year-old girl, ran away from home for a month. She's from Pakistan. She was not cool with that shit.
Wow, what a brave girl. That's awesome.
Do you think she deserves free CTA rides?
I'd sign off on that.
I think that
would be... For that one girl, absolutely. I think we can afford that.
I just wanted to bring that up because that's insane, and that's very local. That's on the yellow line, everybody.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's still common. I work as a software developer, and I work with a lot of Indian and Pakistani men, and they all have arranged marriages, you know, and it's funny. Like, they will defend it as our country has no divorce rate. It's like, well,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if women are on that. Yeah,
exactly, you know, but... yeah, I mean, it's done wider. I mean, like, India at least, maybe not quite as much Pakistan. Like, India is becoming a modern economy that still has it. Like, they recently passed a law where they're not allowed to have dowries.
Really?
They were still doing dowries, but it's still done.
The fact that that was now a recent thing.
Oh, yeah, like, within the last, like 18 months, they made dowries.
I would like to credit the NBC sitcom Outsourced for that progress. A fantastic show no one's ever seen.
Sucks.
Because it sucks. That was implied by the tone of my voice.
But yeah, I mean,
it's insane. It's insane.
You're not going to get me, are you? That's not a terrible.
That's why we can't agree. And we got some.
I don't know if women should.
Merle, two of your.
Wait. These three women are clearly in favor of arranged marriages.
Go back to Skokie. Thank you for coming. Merle?
MC Hammer and Boyz II Men are headlining the Illinois State Fair, along with Three Doors Down, Lady Antebellum, Loverboy, and Jeff Dunham.
Here is my point. Why do we have an Illinois State Fair?
Carnival.
Okay, we have county fairs for that.
We play fair.
Every single block, every single neighborhood in the city has a carnival. Why do we need an Illinois State Fair? Why do we
every
need
state
a
fair? Every state has a fair.
This is America.
Yeah. Why do you hate tradition in America?
Because Jeff Dunham's making about $1 million from us.
Pink contest.
Yeah,
that alone is worth it.
That's true. We probably can't afford to have a state fair.
It's pointless. It's like having a
world. Just send him when the check bounces.
Yeah. Nothing's gonna be better than that. Mayor Rahm, just really quick. Mayor Lake Rahm Emanuel will be sworn in Monday, May 16th. Rahm, thoughts. What do you think is going to happen? He had his first big appointment yesterday. Not a very happy public. We have the school chief from, I think, Rochester, New York.
New York, yeah.
Not a popular decision. What do you think Rahm's going to do? Answer?
I think he, first of all, May 16th, he party like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because this is going to get, by the way, I love that I can swear. I can't swear on radio.
Yeah.
So fuck. But after that, I think, you know, it's going to be a really tough 4 years for him.
Why do you
totally agree.
Why do you think that?
Well, first of all, it's the obvious answer is the economy in Chicago. You have to find money somewhere, and let's face it, the last couple of years, Mayor Daley wasn't doing us any favors.
Yeah, I would agree with not only that, but I also feel like Mayor Daley, I almost feel it's like the end of a dictatorship where it's been so secretive. It's so closed doors, and I don't think Emmanuel has like the gravitas and the connections in Chicago to pull that off. So I think a lot of that networking is going to break down.
And he also has a new city council. He's got 17.
He's already got council wars going on, yeah.
Right, he's got a brand new city council. Yeah. There's old guys, but there's a lot of new guys that will probably,
knock on wood,
make this progressive caucus grow a little bit more. This independent progressive caucus. I'm sorry.
I would agree with Sean that he doesn't have the connections, but I think he's shrewd enough to make up ground rather quickly.
No, I agree with that. What I'm saying is this could be a house of cards. Like, we have no idea what the financials behind Chicago. Daley has really hidden it. There's so much secrecy and it's so cloaked. Like, I don't believe we have any good gauge of how much trouble the city might be in.
Do you think Daley's just going to pull him, like a week before, he's going to pull him into a very, like, secret underground chamber and just give him this meat notebook with all the secrets? This is where everything is. This is how, like, if somebody tries to build a goddamn airport, then you don't want, this is how you build an airport. You know, this is just.
Could you recap that story for people? Because that's probably my favorite Daley story. The mixed field.
That actually
is insane. That story is so. The reality of that does not seem real. It's that insane. You want to
know? Well, I'm not as. Because I moved here basically exactly when that was happening.
Okay.
And, you know, I
was
become so...
Oh, wait. 07?
No, it was early.
He wanted to shut Migs Airfield down.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to shut Migs Airfield down because he wanted to turn it into a park. But he was stymied, like, through legislation and laws. And he just had city crews go out there with, like, front loaders and backhoes, and they just bulldozed
and
jackhammered
the
runway in the middle of the... So, like, planes were in the air, looking to land on a runway that doesn't exist anymore.
What a lot of people don't remember, he covered up security cameras, too.
I didn't know that.
This is like straight out of Fight Club. This is reality! Yeah. That's awesome! That's why it's going to go a little bit down, because no one has that kind of balls.
No, and like, he doesn't have that impunity, too.
No,
like,
right.
Can you imagine just getting a call off your streets in sand?
Like, okay, so now you need to get a black hoodie.
Here's the deal. Yeah, we want you to get some bulldozers. You're going to destroy an airport. But first, cover up all the security cameras so nobody sees you.
Do you have anyone that does wet work?
Shut the fuck up. You're making time and a half. You have to be guaranteed retirement, like, at 28 if you do that for the mayor. That's got to be the best job ever.
I know. I'm still amazed by it, and I still feel naive. Like, how did he get away with that?
Because fuck you. That's how.
Well, I think exactly. Because fuck
just
you.
Just that attitude.
And I remember when I first came here, I really did try to keep up with local politics.
It's
I
insane.
Thought,
it's
I
crazy.
Thought it was. I thought it was. And I thought Texas politics were incredibly corrupt.
No,
there's nothing on them. And I think just one story, quite literally, just covers the other where you can't. And
it's
then,
too much.
And then when John, then Stroger. Jesus Christ! Like, he was on the cover of the Sun-Times every day. Just going,
Junior. Stroger Jr.
Right, Stroger
yeah,
Jr. He was awesome.
For those of you that don't know, Todd Stroger was like, I'm going to die. Here, kid, have everything.
I know.
By the way, make sure you get paid $1 million doing nothing and everyone hates you. And that happened.
Sure did.
Waste a bunch of the county's money.
Dude, it was awesome. Yeah. It was so... I think the Chicagoan mind state is... I might not be rich, but if I could just get one of those jobs, I'll be set for life. And that's why no one really wants to shut it down that much. Because there's that weird hope that maybe that could be an alderman.
Right.
If I just kill someone in the right way.
I think here you actually do have the legitimate... You know, there's just the very lazy blanket. All politicians, they're all a bunch of... Here,
they are!
Really true.
They are!
Real
awesome!
Evidence. Yeah, for real.
But you're right, but there are a lot of good ones coming up.
Sure.
I mean, you got Wax Packs in the 30 seconds, probably. You know, he's probably one of the best hopes that Chicago has, yeah. I don't even live in his ward, but.
Anna? Fantastic. Let's go to the more fun
they
stuff.
All have sex. All these aldermen have sex.
That's for sure.
It's a fuck party.
It's a fuck party. Yes or no? Yay or nay? Yay, Merle! Entertainment!
Tyler Perry
has
some harsh words for his critics and specifically Spike Lee. I'm so sick of hearing about damn Spike Lee. Spike can go straight to hell. I am sick of him. He talked about Whoopi. He talked about Oprah.
Wait. You're taking out the best parts of the quote. Let me just get back to it.
I said straight to hell.
No, that's not the best part.
I like damn Spike Lee.
You wait. You did a great job. Trust me, this is worth it. Spike can go straight to hell! You can print that. I am sick of him talking about me, and I am sick of him saying, this is cool! This is a buffoon! I am sick of him talking about black people going to see movies. This is what he said. You vote by what you see, as if black people don't know what they want to see. But if I said that, I'd actually be gay and in the closet. So that's the lisp. Because he's gay and in the closet and makes homophobic, racist movies. Thoughts, panel?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, can you say it's racist?
It's racist.
You know,
pure racism. Every single person portrayed in Tyler Perry's movie, except the one that he released in November of last year.
Well, it's interesting. It's like
every single person is
who's seen a Tyler Perry movie.
I was just going to ask.
Your irony. You're still in your 20s. Your irony index is higher.
No, I want to see. I couldn't get through it.
As a test of endurance, because there's been a few times that I've watched a few minutes of that Meet the Browns on TBS.
It's insane.
And that, it hurts your heart.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
But, I mean, after, Dane Cook, but actually the
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let me say the three, these are the four highest paid comics working. Russell Peters, whose act is,
he's,
I don't know if you've ever seen, he's
an Indian.
But it's all over the top stereotypes. Yeah. And then you have Dane Cook, who's his own thing. But then it's like Jeff Dunham and Larry the Cable Guy that are all, like, I mean, most comedy is just bad. And most comedy is stereotypes and...
Well, most comedy, but he's not a comedian, he's a filmmaker. He's in a cottage industry.
But he's ostensibly a comic filmmaker.
Yeah, exactly. And he also is against unionization of his workers. A lot of people don't know that in Atlanta. He's,
right. He's the Walmart of
comedy. Yes, he's pumping these awful products
isn't
out.
Isn't it convenient, though, that the guy that's so easy to hate is also against unionization of his
really
workers?
Is.
It's just so easy for you to hate it.
Simple question, would Tyler Perry not suck as much if he just was out?
I mean, when I go to see a gay man dressed as a woman, I go to the Kit Kat Lounge and he's their martinis, then it's funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That makes it.
They're
proud to be doing it, and that enthusiasm wears off on you. You know, Tyler Perry movies aren't like that.
Tyler Perry became like the chief admiral of Starfleet Command in the new Star Trek movie.
He was in that.
He was like the president of Starfleet.
Yeah.
In case you guys were wondering.
Now we're going to get that.
Oh, man.
Did he get an action figure?
I don't know.
He's got one.
I don't.
So is everyone thoroughly depressed?
I would actually like to watch one. There's like 78 of them now, right?
Yeah. They're coming out of every...
I just like those. I feel like I'm on the train and say, hallelujah. I don't know. She's got the
What people don't know, what I feel... people sometimes lose awareness of is, I feel Hollywood is very, they make no effort to give black people comedies. Like, if you look at TV, you watch sitcoms, they're like, the show Friends had to just piss off black people.
They had one character in the entire thing, and just like the
content was so white,
right?
And like, if you look at like George Lopez is not funny, but he's just the only Mexican other than
that show's been off the air for like 5 years.
I thought, isn't it George? Who's the one? It's on syndication. Yes,
it's
thank you.
Syndication.
Or who's the other guy on Comedy Central who is
Carlos Mencia?
Yes. But the reason they're popular is just because no one is actually giving black people or Mexicans any comedy to watch.
I think you're correct. I think it's lowest common denominator shit.
Well, I mean, lowest common denominators across the board.
Exactly.
I was actually going to raise the point that, you know, as Sean said, you got your Jeff Dunham, you got your Larry the Cable Guy. It seems like...
yeah, because Louis raking in the money with those higher ratings on FX. No! It's only people like us that watch it.
That's not the point I was making.
That's the point I'm making.
Okay, these are two different points.
I'm in the middle.
I would like to finish one of them. I know, he has it the whole time. No, I'm just saying that I suppose in a strange, perverse way, black people are entitled to their own lowest common denominator. You know?
Thanks for the white panel about that black.
What happened to the Cosby Show? I love the Cosby Show.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, that was a show that could have been on multiple places. It was amazing.
The Cosby Show was awesome. It still is awesome.
Like, but there hasn't been a comedy. Like Seinfeld was never in the top 30 in terms of black viewership. Like, there has not been a comedy that's been able to break cultural barriers. Since the Cosby Show. Yeah, the show was amazing.
Now I'm just thinking about, like, what's in the current top 10. I can't think of anything.
Two and a half million.
2 million an episode?
Yeah,
is that
a deal?
2 million for that. Talk about lowest common denominator.
Yeah, but ER was always in the top 10, and that had a wide swath of people.
Well, no, I'm only talking about comedies. Okay. I'm only talking about... like, it doesn't seem that those break cultural barriers as well.
Dramas tend to have a more diverse culture.
Yeah, and in Law and Order SVU, everybody gets raped.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be fair, when you make... when you make 4 gazillion rape episodes, you're pretty much going to scatter your rape scene across.
It's so much fun. And in every episode of Law and Order, I learn a fake, not thing. It's awesome. I now know how to abort a baby with my dick. It's possible. That was the last Law and Order episode. He rubs this thing on his dick, and he kills the baby, but then it also kills the mother because it's not the almost mother, because it's not supposed to be used that way. It's awesome. Anna, thoughts?
I just wondered.
I love the ripping the headlines Law and Order.
Yes. It's funny how they rewrite it just slightly.
That's the best way to do this. Just switch a couple of
things. And it's also funny how they just randomly add a murder. Like, they had a Mel Gibson one where he was like a Jew, but then it turned out he killed
somebody
with a sword.
Play by Chevy Chase! Blink by Chevy
Chase.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I don't think was acting. I just think they got Chevy Chase, and he's just crazy rapist asshole, and it was brilliant.
It was.
Speaking of crazy rapist asshole, next story, Merle.
Lady Gaga is adamant she did not ban Weird Al Yankovic from parodying her hit song, despite Al's accusations that the pop star shut him down hard recently.
Fantastic. That's actually been kind of, there's a new thing in that story. Everything's been resolved, and Gaga was like, hey, it's cool, the song's been released now.
Yeah, oh, wait, he's putting it on his album.
Is he officially putting it on his album now?
He can now.
Ooh.
Oh, that's different from this afternoon.
When exactly. I just don't need to. This, now, because today
I studied that Weird Al story. The rest of them I don't give a shit, but I studied that Weird Al.
And I want to go over this thoroughly. No joke. Who is more important? Lady Gaga or Weird Al? That's it. Once again, sincere question.
Who is more important in what, just in general?
In general.
Well, Weird Al's got the, he's got the tenure, you know?
Yeah,
he's
Weird Al's got the tenure, and I, you know...
I personally think that's an atrocious genre.
Musical. Weird Al or Lady Gaga?
But if I had to say who I personally hate more, it would be Weird Al Yankovic.
I personally hate Lady Gaga, so now we're going to get into...
Brilliant!
Point counterpoint.
I really wish I... was it Zeus? He's got lightning? I want lightning. Is it Zeus?
Zeus,
I hate parody songs, and I hate all songs. Like whenever playoff teams get into the football teams get into playoff race, they do these terrible songs. Oh, that's from Cleveland, right. And we had our fourth string quarterback against the Houston Oilers for the divisional round. His name was Don Strock. He was 42 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, and we wrote "Rock Around Clock" around rock around Strock. I think also the parody songs, the verses are sung so particular. Like rock and roll is cool, and you almost can't understand the verses,
right?
You know, but like parody songs, like they pronounce it, but like he gets the snap, he goes left then right, you know. It's like it's so didactic, and you can understand everything. And like music shouldn't be that way; it should be imprecise, you know?
Right. Well, that reminds me of when Weird Al called Kurt Cobain to do because he wanted to do "Smells Like Nirvana."
Yes.
And Kurt Cobain was like, "All right, is the song?
Fucking A.
Is the no?" He thought it was cool. He's like,
"Yeah, no, he was not.
Is the song going to be about food?" And he was like, "No, it's going to be how no one can understand what the shit you're saying." I think that's great.
It is pretty great.
Yeah.
But like, if you're an artist, seriously, if I had a song, Weird Al called me, it's like, dude,
that's the,
I want a parody of your song.
It's absolutely.
I think
it's, exactly. It's sort of, I mean, well, regardless
it's sort of a hero-less story. Well, from my perspective, since I hate both, but Lady Gaga comes off looking very bad.
I can't stand that. Yeah, I'm an old man. I can't stand that Gaga.
I
just feel like I was actually, there was a commercial for her HBO special, and I was in the bathroom, I just heard it, and I swear to God, I thought it was something for Madonna. It was just like, it seemed like the exact sort
that's
of
that's the criticism, thing. Is that she sounds just, way,
it's
way
Madonna, too much like Madonna. Madonna, like, did all this shit 20 years ago, and David Bowie did it 40 years before. You know, whatever. It's
the real question is, how do you afford HBO?
It was a free weekend, there's only one thing that I watched, and then at the end of the weekend, it was HBO and Cinemax, and the last thing that they showed on Cinemax was "Stopper My Mom Will Shoot." It was like a salesman, just like, okay, fuck you. You're not going to buy this? I'm going to dump this bucket of rats on you. Get out of my store.
And for someone that writes about sexual relationships, Gaga's got to come into play a lot.
Gaga was a hugely popular Halloween costume this year and last year. She's a cultural icon. Personally, I like dance music. I like skating.
Yeah.
So I enjoy her. But the song, the Weird Al song, was like hugely complimentary towards her. There'd be no reason why she wouldn't.
Weird Al
just talked about her outfits. Boy, does she!
I don't think Weird Al rips on anybody.
No, he's actually the nicest.
He seems like a really nice guy.
He's actually way too nice to be all that funny.
Sean, did you see the behind the music Weird Al?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Or the new parody of the upcoming Weird Al biopic?
I did not see
that. I think you might be a fan after that. I'm serious. Look, I can agree. The music is awful.
I'll give it an honest try.
I do like, you know, really, as a kid, you didn't like Another One Rides the Bus or Eat It?
My Bologna?
No. My Bologna?
I mean, to me, they sound like things foods that me and my buddies could have ridden on a school bus.
But you know?
Did you know how to play accordion?
That's why your triangles aren't in the museum.
I mean, it's a weird thing. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't like hearing music where
you can hear the lyrics.
Yeah, no, I really think that's bad.
No, I understand. I just like that Sean's getting cranky about weird.
Yeah, I don't like
fantastic.
You're running into one of the few things in life I just don't like, which are parody songs.
I want to be parody.
It's rare that there's one that, and it's, you know, it's very diminishing return. The thing about a funny song is you have the chorus three times, and by the time you get to that third chorus,
you know what?
Like,
no, wait,
all right, you get it.
Funny, you said funny song. You mean parody song or just funny song?
I think
song?
In general.
I disagree because Tenacious D still holds up.
Well, they're not a parody band, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, but they're still funny songs.
But those are pretty good hooks there.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're good musicians.
Exactly.
But think about Weird Al. I mean, how long has he been doing this? Long.
30 years.
Right. Yeah. So he was doing all this stuff back when, like, now you could go, like, into your laptop and crank out a song.
No,
like
he
that.
Talks about it.
So he was doing this, you know, 30 years ago, and it was like, oh, my God. How did this guy... It sounds just like... Except it's a different...
It sounded like a single nice man. That's what it sounds like. A very nice, polite man that couldn't actually come up with a punchline. Yeah, just a nice guy.
Yeah,
like, the kind of guy you would totally want to date after that weird guy might have given you VD. That's the kind of guy we're
right, because Weird Al's not going to try on anything on for like a year.
Yeah. He's just, I'll pay for all the Red Lobster trips you want. Right. Yeah. From his Long John Silver tips.
You guys didn't like UHF?
No, UHF is a... What?
Sean, a funny movie.
There you go.
Okay, so you don't just straight on it.
I don't like parody music.
Well, then I can walk off this stage with peace of mind.
We agree to disagree.
Let's end this topic and our thoughts on UHF quick.
You have no idea.
You have no idea what UHF is!
Alright, now I'm pissed.
I just want to point out
the fact... You know about Twinkie Wiener Dogs or Wheel of Fish?
Oh, these are some of my favorite people in the city. This is why Sean's one of my favorite people in the city. I found this story. I was like, oh, this is something fun that we can talk about. He references a 42-year-old quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Knows the name. Knows the parody song out of nowhere. That's why he's funny. Lollapalooza versus Pitchfork. Merle?
Well, music festivals are coming around the corner. Do they come around corners?
Yeah.
Do they? Well, they are. Lollapalooza, August 5th through the 7th in Grant Park. They haven't announced the lineup yet. Tickets range from $250 for a 3-day pass to $850 for the VIP package with food and air conditioned restrooms. Pitchfork is July 15th through 17th in Union Park. That lineup, Animal Collective, Meat Bouquet, Sweet Foxes, and a million other bands I've never heard of. 3-day passes have sold out, but we're $110 and you can now just buy single days at $45.
Last year,
all
these
animals are always there. Yeah.
Lollapalooza versus Pitchfork. I highly doubt anyone on the panel is going to pay for Lollapalooza. And if you are going to Pitchfork, I'm assuming you have press passes or some artist friend of yours just snuck you in. Is that correct?
I love festivals. You
love festivals.
I love festivals.
That's a different point of view than I'm guessing most of the people up here. Why?
A couple years ago, I actually went to 50 Chicago festivals for the Red Eye. 50?
No, that was a job. That was a job. No,
that is a job.
Yeah, but it was like so much fun, and also I'm a big musician, and I like being crowds. Like,
have you dated a drummer?
Wait till you get older.
What? Wait. If you want to date a drummer, you just say, I'm a girl, and you can fuck in like 10 minutes and be disappointed in 11 minutes. Well, why would you?
We had such a nice time.
You want to date a drummer?
A musician. Go and
What was your favorite festival? Like, what was your experience at the festival?
Well, actually, I really liked the regional festival. So, like, the Chinatown Center Festival
was
really cool. Because
I got to
go to
the different
places that probably wouldn't casually.
So, like, street fests.
I love
street
fests are awesome.
How many times
do
you see better than
Israel? Or the
Bodies. 16 candles every week.
16 Candles, for those of you that don't know, is a cover band that get paid out the fucking ass. They gotta be making $100,000 between June and August every month.
What about the Two White Crew?
T-O-O
White Crew.
There's some good street fests, though. I'll tell you that, like, smaller, you know, like...
Yeah, like Rip Fest brings a good band.
Yeah, right.
Two Divisions.
it's fun, great. That's great, but like Lollapalooza is just a little too insane. And if plus like you're there with like thousands of people,
195
it's always the hottest day of the
year. Exactly.
It's like
I had a free ticket to Lollapalooza last year. It was the day after my birthday and I was too hungover. I wanted this is how old I am. I wanted to see now Fit that calls himself Soundgarden. And it was too hot and I was too old to go because I was way too hungover. And I thought, like, if I could arrange a helicopter to just airlift me in, and then as soon as they're done, go out. But yeah, I just like Pitchfork. I've gone to Pitchfork several times. But like
Pitchfork? I think I saw you at Pitchfork last year.
Yeah, you told me, you interviewed me for 2 seconds, told me shut the fuck up.
Pitchfork, it's really apples and oranges. It's like.
But that one's getting. I might be too old and too.
It's getting pretty commercial too.
It's really
in terms of bands or in terms of sponsors.
In terms of like sponsors. I mean, the bands I think are pretty much on par with what they've been. I think.
Yeah.
But like, it's getting like professional, big time corporate sponsorships.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 30. It used to be like, I think like what 40, 50 bucks for the whole.
It was.
The whole
it was originally 44 for 2 days, but that was right. 2 days. There wasn't as many bands. There was only two stages versus three.
You only had to pay $44 for them to tell you what to like. No, it's getting
very expensive. It's a very, very hard.
They do run a good. They for the most part the concessions aren't like super gougy.
No,
they actually do.
You can bring in food.
It's pretty well run. Every once in a while, the sound will go completely out on one.
You
stage.
Can't control wind. Right. That's just the issue.
No. Like just major sound issues.
Really quick, if money's not an issue, you're a millionaire, isn't it? Whatever. Would you go to either festival this year?
I plan to go to both.
You plan to go to both?
Absolutely, I budget for it. And even if I can't, like, if you can't afford it now, I can price those tickets and they're cheap.
Okay. That's a
different perspective. I think some people kind of use it as their, and I'm not going to use that pun vacation term, but I think people use that, they're like, I'm not going on a trip, but this is going to be my big weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think
Sean?
Do that.
No, I mean, I personally don't like seeing music at big venues. Like, I like seeing music at really small. I'm the same with comedy as well.
Yeah.
I like seeing things in intimate spaces. I don't have a hatred of them. Like, I think they're fine, and I'm sure. I also get sunburned. I got sunburned this February.
Are you serious?
Yeah, late
That's
February
amazing.
I got sunburned. So, like, I'm definitely not going to do an outdoor festival in August. But
if someone paid you to document Lollapalooza this year without sunscreen and you had to not wear, like, a hat.
You would have to pay me what I feel like getting skin cancer is worth. Like, I would do it, but you would have to pay me, like, $70,000.
I think that should be done.
Yep. Well, if you can pull
I can't,
there,
really, I can't do
redirect
that.
Redirect some of that Jeff Dunham stuff on the to me.
If Perry Farrell will write a $70,000 check for Sean to go
in his shirtless, head top,
shirtless for $70,000, no shirt.
With a VHS camcorder. From 1993.
And he has to wear a fanny pack.
Mike, would you go?
And I wouldn't go to Lollapalooza.
What about Disneyland? It's free?
Probably not, just because I know people that have gone, and it's like
have you not been?
I've not been to Lollapalooza,
and whatever.
But I like Sean, I'd love to go to a place like this, or to a Metro, or Dumbledore's, or even smaller. That's where you see some amazing.
You know what's interesting about that? You're the first person in about 10 years that on microphone that said I'd go to Dumbledore.
Well, what's wrong?
Dumbledore's great.
What's wrong with Dumbledore?
The book is super inconsistent. Tonight is one of the... No joke.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that.
The best DJ night in the city tonight is at Dumbledore. It's a soul party. It's awesome.
But it's
they have one show in the next month that looks relatively decent.
I don't know.
But the venue itself is cool.
The venue itself is awesome. The staff is awesome.
Right.
No problems with them. Do better.
Yeah.
That's all. You're not...
don't be hating.
No, but I just did. Oh. Gotta laugh. It was worth it. Merle, this is actually the next story is for the comics specifically. I don't think they've been talking enough. I want to really get their opinion on this. It's not a news story, but it's a very important story to Chicago, and that's not bullshit. Merle?
More jobs for comics. The Laugh Factory, a leading stand-up venue in Los Angeles, plans to open in the space once occupied by the Lakeshore Theater. It recently signed the lease, and it's going to renovate, and it's going to be a comedy club later this year.
The Laugh Factory is a historic club in L.A. They are not known for putting anything cutting edge on stage.
Not anymore.
They run the gamut, but recently it's been not so good. What is this going to do for the Chicago County? Is it going to change it in any way whatsoever?
Well, it'll definitely help.
Why will it help?
Well, first of all, always having another venue is good.
Right. More.
Secondly, they will put up good. There's a great stand-up scene in Chicago that they will use because we're here and we're funny, you know. The other thing that people need to realize about the Laugh Factory has this terrible reputation in L.A. now, but it is where like Robin Williams and Sam Kinison and all that started. The reason it sucks now is because it's riding on the fumes of the laurels it used to have in L.A. They have none of that here. They have no branding. So they're going to put up good shows. Like they can't afford to just coast in off the Laugh. No one in the Midwest knows what the Laugh Factory is.
That's true. You don't think?
Yeah, so they have to put up good shows, and they will. It'll be great. It'll be great for the scene.
A lot of people don't know this, but there's only one club in Chicago that has stand-up that's been going for more than 5 years.
Yes.
And that's Zany's. They've been around forever. And that's why, like, when Norm MacDonald comes to Chicago, he doesn't come to Chicago. He goes to Schaumburg, or he goes to Indiana to play the venue.
No, he won't come to... I bet you next
he
time...
He hasn't been billed at Zany's in Chicago.
He's
riding
a bigger wave.
Yeah.
I bet you he'll go to improv, but he does go to...
Improv in Schaumburg?
No, like Zany's, where they have their A headliners, they do Tuesday in the city, and then they go out to the suburbs because they have the bigger venues there.
We get tagged with this weird, like, sketch improv scene, which is not bad. It's great. But a lot of people just ignore the stand-up in Chicago.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, think about it. All, like, think about it. Really? Jesus Christ. It's 421 me.
Speaking of the Lakeshore Theater... Did you ever go see the puppetry of the penis there?
I didn't. How was it?
I saw it. It's weird, isn't it?
I was in it. Yeah.
I didn't think.
But you were in it.
Yeah, I was. No. I saw it.
I heard it was great.
It was great. It was like.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
I didn't think wieners could do that though.
Anna, what do you think wieners can do? Fantastic.
Hey, they arranged marriage.
Oh, fantastic! They're back in the penis jokes. All right.
Their husbands.
I just wanted to bring that up because I have been traveling a lot, seeing a lot of comics, and all the best comics that I've seen are from this city, and people should enjoy that with cheap beer while they can. That's pointless. That was being preachy. I'm sorry, crowd. Final forum of the night. We're finally into sports. Merle, first story.
Commissioner Bud. Commissioner Bud Selig said
Selig.
Whatever. No one cares.
Oh!
Some old man!
Some old man.
Why don't you just say Bart Giamatti?
Old man!
Bart Giamatti!
Some old man with a lot of money said that he would appoint someone within days to oversee all operations of the Los Angeles Dodgers because of his deep concerns about the state of the troubled marquee franchise, which is owned by Frank McCourt.
So Frank McCourt screwed up. He's not managing his club so well. A Giants fan got beat up outside the stadium recently. He's going through a divorce, losing a lot of money. The team is decent. They've always been in contention in August. Sean, you host a comedy/sports podcast radio show.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? Because has this ever happened?
Not to my knowledge. They have done this in other leagues.
Yeah, but in baseball. Baseball's notoriously hard to get into. If you're a Chicago Cubs fan, you know that the owner of the Dallas Mavericks tried to buy the Cubs and they didn't like them.
See, it's an interesting thing in that, so sports leagues want to be privately owned. They want to be owned by families because that means they don't have to open up their books because they're all corrupt as hell. They take city money. They all lie to the players on how much they're making. They all claim NFL loser or owners claim they're losing money, which is a flat-out lie.
Yeah, listen to there's a recent Freakonomics episode about this, which is very fascinating. If you're into sports or being a nerd, you should listen to it. Continue, sir.
But so they want to be privately owned, so they don't open themselves up to that kind of transparency. But the downside is you then open yourself up to, like, an ugly divorce. Like, this guy is basically getting taken over because his wife is basically fucking him in a divorce, you know, with good reason. He's an asshole.
He's
a total asshole. And the same thing is happening with the San Diego Padres, actually. They had to trade their five best players because their owner can't afford them after his wife cleaned him in a divorce.
Which is kind of great in a way.
I know, it's kind of...
funny and cool.
This is like the Little League dag. Now I'm divorced. I guess I can't coach. I got to move to a shitty apartment. It's the exact same thing.
So I don't know the ins and outs. What exactly? Didn't this happen when they still had a team in Montreal? Didn't the league sort of take them over for a minute? And before they were purchased.
No, because that owner now owns the.
But that wasn't because of personal home issues.
That, they were just losing money, and he owns the Marlins now. They said you can own the Marlins.
Oh, okay.
They just
worked out really well, too.
Yeah, they just wanted to disband that team.
Stop trying to sell baseball to French Canadians. Those games were hilarious. You need to see a Cubs game, and that whatever
you can hear people talking.
You can hear individual conversations.
It's awesome.
Like kids would go just to do homework. Yeah. It was the quietest place in Montreal. It was hilarious. I love those games.
Are you a baseball fan?
Let me tell you what I know about sports.
I want to hear.
I like Tallman.
Is this show just a dating service for you? Hey, musicians and tall men. Someone's got a hole to fill. In her love line. In her love line.
Can I ask you something? Because you're tall. Now, you, the maid of honor at our wedding, which she's very tall, she's 6 foot, she won't date anyone shorter than her. That's a rule of her. Do you have that rule?
Actually, I dated a guy who was 5'4".
Okay.
How tall are you?
5'10".
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you'll go as low as 5'4".
I'll let
you go. Oh, my.
Okay. I feel awkward. Mike, say something, please.
I love you.
Thank you. I don't feel as awkward now.
Well, no, we'll just...
I should have went to sex ed earlier.
The whole baseball thing, honest to God, I'm thinking about the Cubs, I'm thinking about the Bulls, I'm thinking about the Bears.
Which leads us to our next story, Cubs and Sox predictions really quick. Cubs are technically first place as of right now. Sox are in a 7-game losing streak. I think anyone that follows baseball will be very happily surprised if the Cubs do anything decent. And the Sox have a chance only if every single player remains healthy forever, which is not possible with a bunch of 40-year-olds. Thoughts?
I think you just summed it up.
Okay.
Well, no, but the one thing you didn't really mention is the Cubs do play in the worst division in baseball. And they could win that terrible division.
Maybe.
And even the Sox, like the AL Central isn't that bad.
I said the AL, I think they're Twins, that's the one.
Yeah, and they could be competitive.
Yeah, it could come down just like last year. Where
I think both teams might be in contention in August, and I think the Sox have a better chance of being in contention mid-September.
Yeah, I like Mike Lottie as the manager of the Cubs.
Yeah.
I like him. I thought that was a good
move. It is a good move, but the thing is you screwed over Ryan Sandberg and now he's a Philly again.
Right. But I believe that'll help Sandberg in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
Because managing the current Cubs is a death sentence.
Ryan Sandberg was thrown out of more minor league games than anybody in the past 2 years as a manager. He had a crazy temper, which is insane.
So it seems like the organic, heir apparent to Pinella.
Yeah.
You getting thrown out of... I don't know. I went to a game yesterday and watched. You're talking about talking about old overpaid guys. Alfonso Soriano, my least favorite player in the entire league. Watched him just sort of. There's a catchable ball that he just sort of just let. I'd catch that, but I'd have to put my arm all the way up, and so he just let it doink off the wall. And just that aloof look that he always has on his face. Oh, just sort of just flies. Close the mouth when you move me fuck up.
Anna, what are your thoughts on athletes?
Oh, wow!
I mean,
you're a catch!
No, but honestly, I grew up in a house that was very athletic. I had more basketball growing up. I went to Michael Jordan's retirement ceremony, the first one.
Wait. Retirement ceremony? Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
She wasn't like at his house.
You had a banquet dinner.
I'll have some cake, Michael.
Yeah. Juanita was watching her husband fuck someone else. Was great.
Oh, wow.
What a kid. He's very good at fucking other people.
And gambling away his money.
Yeah. He's really good at losing and fucking other women. Speaking of fucking other women, Bulls playoff hopes. Everyone says it's too young, even though they're technically good enough. Thoughts?
I don't think they'll make it to the championship series myself. I think they'll lose to the Heat.
Do you think who's going to win it all?
I think the Heat will win it all.
Mike?
Bulls, all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because you're from Chicago, or you actually think it?
Partly I'm from Chicago, but I'll tell you, the team, I think they're going to go to Orlando next, then the Heat, right? That's how it would go, right?
Yeah. Depends on who they play.
I think Orlando's going to advance. I think they're going to play Orlando, and then I think they're going to play, it would be the Heat after that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be, Heat's going to play Boston.
Right.
All right, and then the winner of the Bulls.
Who do you think's going to win? You think the Heat's going to win that series?
I think the Heat will win that series. But the Bulls would be playing in the East Championship
against
either Boston or the Heat.
Right. I think it's going to be the Heat.
Yeah.
I think that goes six games. And then I think they play
and the Lakers.
I love predictions that go, it's going to be this many games.
Yeah, right. And the 20th anniversary will be the Bulls-Lakers.
That's true.
It's a callback.
It is a callback.
See?
But not in the way we were referencing.
It's a callback, dude.
You're so nice.
Do we know who won tonight?
No, the game's Bulls won tonight.
They won?
Right. Thank you, sir. Anna, thoughts?
Well, I heard Lakers. And
they're tall.
No, my ex-boyfriend was a huge Lakers fan. And we had an honest fight about this. If we had gotten married, I would have had to name my first child Kobe.
Because he's a fan of rape. Right? He's a big fan of rape.
Maybe he likes to
because skate. Kobe Bryant rapes people and calls people fucking faggots.
Did you hear about the...
rapes people, too. Do you like him for that? Because he rapes? Your boyfriend's a fan of rapists. They call people faggots, right? That's why he's a good act. By the way, everybody, Kobe Bryant rapes and is homophobic. So just keep that in mind. He's a rapist, everybody. Kobe Bryant,
I think,
on the Lakers.
That's Brandon Weatherby.
Yeah, that's me.
Opinions here expressed.
That's not an opinion. That's a fact. I will get that tattooed on my chest if you pay.
If you're new to the show, there is a rule that Brandon does have to say the word rape 17 times, or it can't end, and we all want to go home. So we can go now.
Bulls, what are they going to do? Really quick.
Oh, they're going home.
I
think they'll make it to the finals.
You think it'll be Bulls Lakers?
Probably.
I would love Bulls Lakers just to see Phil Jackson eat shit.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson, by the way, left his wife when he went to L.A. and then coached a rapist. So it makes sense.
You're really personal.
I was a huge.
Really?
I read Sacred Hoops at like 12 years old, and I bought into that shit.
Are you really going to try to find a moral compass in sports with all these guys? You're gonna be disappointed on every.
It's
front.
Just gonna be the cartoon image of Shaq in my head. It's they're the only
just there's guys that are better at covering skeletons up than others.
That's why my favorite athlete is Derek Lee. That's just
he
true.
He seems like a sweet guy.
Also, his daughter had a medical
right
blind. He does a lot of good work. He's a good first baseman.
A lot of them do a lot of good work.
And you're a softy.
I'm a softy.
Yeah.
He raped everybody. Kobe Bryant. Final question of the night. By the way, everyone here paying attention, you guys are fantastic. I am shocked.
Thanks for coming out.
I am absolutely shocked that all of you, thanks you, got the fuck you that ended all the
thanks for not caring about sports.
You want to fuck me? Oh, that's nice. I like tall men too, Anna. It's going to work out well. This is the final question of the world. Do you want to ask it? Do it, buddy. Okay.
Are you a president?
She's really excited.
You really are a president.
Wow.
You are president. What is the first thing you do? Parody songs are illegal. Fair enough. Mike!
I would put a lot of money to fund mental health so when you ride the bus, it's all good for you.
Anna!
I'd make everyone call me Miss America because that's two titles.
Not bad.
Hey!
And as Alaska.
Calm down with the political statements about Ms. Palin. Chad.
I would, if I was Obama, if it's... If
no,
it's,
you are president.
Oh, I'm the president.
You're the president.
Well then fine. As long as we're in fantasy land.
Yeah.
Free ice cream for everyone. Yeah, it's just garbage like that. It's fine. Just free ice cream for everyone. Free train rides for everyone, not just the elves. Because these things, I hate oil, as we established earlier.
Fish oil, acne,
exactly. Everyone with acne is banished. They're banished from one of our territories. Like, what? You know that island that the island of Puerto Rico where they practice bombing?
Yeah.
everybody with acne goes to that island, etc. Fine, I'm sorry, I didn't really think this through.
Earl,
you're president. This is a strange country.
Well, if he's got free ice cream, I'm going to pave the roads with cookies. All right.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have a giant rodent problem within like 8 minutes.
And also, I think...
Well, I didn't... That's why I'm not president.
I would make parody song education mandatory in all schools. You have to write albums and albums worth of parody songs before you can graduate and even get the most menial job.
Mine's a double.
Exactly.
Mine's a double.
The choices are clear, ladies and gentlemen.
Spin the bottle. I'm going now.
Mandatory spin the bottle. That's what we do at the end of the country. What the fuck? I am so surprised you're all still here.
There's nowhere to sit up there.
I want to thank each and every one of you. You made this. I had a lot of fun. I think these guys are in the hating because no one walked. Esmeralda, you were absolutely fantastic. Let's do some quick plugs. Sean?
I have a one-man show about the last 10 times I almost killed myself by accident at the Chicago Center for Performing Arts. Two more weeks. It ends May. Next two Fridays.
It's fantastic.
He's amazing.
You gotta go see it.
And I also do a sports show that's a parody of ESPN called The Visitor's Locker Room at Visitor's Locker Room.
So you're inviting a parody radio shows.
I do,
not songs.
I'm a fan of parody, just not songs. You will never hear a song on our show.
Really quick, if you're not a sports fan, you'll still like it.
You just have to think sports are over the top. And people.
I don't think you or your co-host CJ like any sports.
We don't.
It's awesome. I love it. Mike.
Who's your co-host?
CJ Sullivan.
One of the other funniest men in the city. Thanks.
I do a radio show, a podcast called Outside the Loop Radio. It's on every Thursday morning at 10 on WLUW. It's also a podcast on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We cover all kinds of local stuff happening in Chicago. There is a lot of politics, but it's more of like in-depth kind of talking about what's happening on the ground level. So stuff in your neighborhood, in your community, we're covering all that. Check it out because that would be awesome.
It's an absolutely fantastic show, and if the good thing about it is you cover a wide swath of things. If you don't like one story, there's something coming up next, and you're a nice man.
Thank you. You are pretty good too.
Very soothing voice.
It's really.
I'll call you.
You're a pro.
Call me
Anna.
I write Accidentally Sexy. I'm going to be launching it as its own site in the next couple months.
Fantastic.
Where are you going to go first?
Well, I'm actually going to be gallivanting across Chicago first.
We're going to Berlin.
It's fun. I can gallivant across the world. But mostly I'll be writing the same sort of similar stuff about dating relationships and how to score on the road. So.
Yeah, it's different for a girl.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's very easy. Speaking of easy, Chad.
What is this? When will this air? Because I got some dates next week. It'll air on Friday,
before
Friday,
Monday,
Saturday.
For sure.
Okay, Tuesday.
Because the audience loves hearing who's just going to be on a podcast.
Well, that took 2 seconds. We've got to sort of spread it out.
Nope.
Anyway, next Tuesday I'll be hosting a great lineup at Bee Kitchen for Chicago Underground Comedy. Next Thursday I'll be at the Oakwood for Rotten Comedy. That's a fun show and a disgusting
and boring. And you're an alcoholic. That's the show to get.
Yeah. And I will still be not drinking and
that's
judging
be
everyone.
That's going to be miserable for you.
And then next Friday, I'll be at Lincoln Lodge.
Oh, it's going to be a
venerable Chicago Comedy Institution.
Good.
I'll be Chad Briggs on Twitter.
Esmeralda and I will be at the Hungry Brain on Monday. We will be at the Whistler down the street on Sunday. On Friday, we got Subterranean A in Washington, D.C., and on April 30th, we'll be in New York City at Pete's Candy Store in Williamsburg, a neighborhood so hip, William the Camel had to make a cigarette pack for it. Wyatt Cenac from The Daily Show, CJ Toledano from Jimmy Fallon, that guy wears tight suits, and Abby Payne is the musician. Each and every one of you are fantastic people. Cole, the owner of this bar, is awesome. You're going to die. Let's be honest. If I have one thing to tell the audience, you're going to die, you can still tip. You know, it's going to make other people happy. Let's empty the bank account. Let's tip Cole. Give ourselves a round of applause. Give the panel an applause. Esmeralda's been fantastic. Each and every one of you are fantastic. Let's close this shit. Thank you so much for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night. We have no theme music.